heart beats faster and faster.
As autumn leaves hit the ground, the smell of death was all around. Jack-o'-lanterns glowing bright light the way into the night. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know what this is, you're crazy, because this is the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Oh yeah, paranormal broadcasting where you, our listeners, voted us number 5 of the top 10 paranormal broadcasts out there, but we vote you number 1.
No, bro. Oh, I like that, man. I like it. Hey, gang, we are live back in studio, and we'll be in the chat room all night long.
Oh, that's right. You can go to our chat room by logging into our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
And if you were wondering, this is the Ghost Man, Sean B.
That would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
This is the Sunday, October 12th broadcast of our show.
That's right. The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris, and is broadcast live on OmniSound, KarmaCast, and Planet Paranormal Radio.
All right, guys, tonight's guest, get ready. Guys, get ready. This one's going to be crazy. First up, Bob Carter, known to most as late-night scary movie junkie Sammy Terry. That's right, the king of horror stops by to chew the fat. Then later on, Brian Kano of Scared, S-C-A-R-E-D, checks in to talk ghost spooks and all other kinds of weird stuff tonight on the G&D show.
Ooh, you know what, Sean? The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. I forgot to mention that we are recorded for Para X Radio and the Black Vault Radio Network, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I forgot to say that, but that's okay, because the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast. Oh, and it starts right now.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yes.
I don't know. You know, I don't feel original anymore, brother. I just don't. I don't feel original because I haven't been here in so long. It feels like a year since I did the last show.
You should feel original because it's been so long since we've gotten to go live out on the air. We are brand new.
Yeah, it feels like the first broadcast.
No, but nothing like nothing will ever feel like that first broadcast again, John.
Yeah, but hey, we want to take a minute to thank all our listeners for around the world. Thanks for joining us on what's sure to be another great episode of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
See, you're always so optimistic, Sean, and I'm glad, because I'm never sure if it's going to be a great episode, but Sean is always positive. You got to give him that.
Oh, man, they must the people think that don't know me in real life. That's great. There we go. A little bell. Did you hear the fart machine? I brought that back.
I'm afraid I did. I did hear the fart machine.
I brought it back. It's out of storage. I finally found it. I moved into the new... This is the first show. This is the first inaugural show coming from the new Ghostman Demon Hunters studios.
Wow.
Or this side of the studio, anyway. It's a brand new one. I got this brand new room. It's painted... like green color. It looks like Linda Blair. Something Linda Blair in that movie, you know, she spit up. But it's a pretty little room. It's quiet. Unfortunately, it's not soundproof, so the neighbors can probably hear me outside. But what are you going to do, man? What are you going to do? Hey, how'd your weekend go? Did you have a good weekend?
Oh, well, you know, it was really funny because this weekend was our first weekend back. And yeah. To make up for all the time we spent out on the road... I had to work the weekend, so I actually haven't gotten a moment's peace since I got home.
You had to actually work your job this weekend?
Yes, because I took off to tour for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
You know, that's just not fair, folks, because that happened to Nathan. That happened to Nathan this weekend, and last weekend I got juniored They say a low seniority thing at work, and they made me work on my day off. It just, when they give you 2 days a week to live, right? Basically.
Yeah.
You get permission to live your life for 2 days a week out of a whole week, and sometimes they take that away from you. It's just not fair, I'm telling you. It's paranormal is what it is.
Well, I don't know how paranormal it is, but it certainly was, it was a tough weekend to come back from. Well, Sean and you and I were both sick this last week, too. So we came back from traveling. We were both sick, and then to not even get a break to go right back to work was tough.
You stayed on the road. See, I've had about 2 weeks from Mid-South to recoup and get everything going, and you left Mid-South and headed straight to Haunted Hickory.
Well, I came home in between, too, because I had to work for 2 days in between to make up time that I lost going to Mid-South. It was nonstop for
so
the last.
So that was 13 hours back home, folks, for Nathan.
yeah, it was.
Oh, my God, what a nightmare. And of course, it's 2 hours for me to go to beautiful Louisville, Kentucky, where the Mid-South Paranormal Convention was held this year. And if you guys didn't go, you missed it. I'm telling you, you missed it. Me and Nathan was cramming you guys all year, begging you to go. And I didn't see all our listeners there, I'm telling you.
Although, you know, like I told you, Sean, I had the good fortune of when I was out at Haunted Hickory, someone came up and actually started talking to me about the show, which means somebody actually listened.
yeah, that's paranormal within itself. But we've been out for so long. I would say we would say hi to people in the chat room, guys, but I don't think anybody showed up yet.
Well, there's a couple people in there. I just looked in there. We've got our good friend Spanky McBubbles, Muldoon, Witchy Gator, and Ghost Chaser. So
I must have timed out. Yeah, you're right. They are Muldoony, Ghost Chaser, Witchy Gator. Yeah, Spanky McBubbles. That's weird with our new chat site, because if you stay on there, the old chat site, if you stay on too long, you time out. Or at least it's happened with me.
Well, I just actually got done talking to Jeff over at OmniSound. We've been talking about putting the OmniSound chat room up, and that will be up and ready to go in about a week. So next week there'll be a new chat room up there, which means, folks, come in a little early, register to get into the chat room, because you're going to have to register for the chat room now. You're basically going to have to give your name, your online name, an email, and a password. And
great. I won't know how to get in our own chat site now. But, hey, man, I wanted to say, guys, I had to go cheap this week. So the official beer of Ghostman Demon Hunter Show for this Sunday is 3.2 beautiful gram carbs. I'm sorry, 96 calories. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. That's the beer. That's the beer
well,
for tonight, guys.
Actually, there's no cigar for the week, Sean, because
uh-oh. Sacrilege.
Yeah, I know. What can I do? I couldn't put a cigar in there due to the fact that I'm getting over this chest cold.
Yeah, you shouldn't be smoking anyway, yeah.
So,
you had it bad. You still sound kind of messed up.
I'm a little gravelly there, yeah. It chewed on me a bit.
You got that beautiful radio voice.
Well, you know, a little bit less there, and I'll be able to either pull off a Wolfman Jack or a Harvey Firestein. So, either way, yonder lies the castle of my mudda. I don't know.
What did Doug always say from Ghostly Talk? He said he's got the body for radio and the voice for TV. I forget.
The voice for broadcasting and the body for radio, yes.
Yeah, that's what we... the looks for radio. That's what we definitely got that, man. But, oh, we got all these stories. We got a hot night tonight, guys. I got to tell you. And, you know, first off, if you're not from Indiana, you should be. But, no, I'm kidding. But tonight's first guest that we're going to have on, guys, Sammy Terry. Little brother, you hear me? Sammy Terry. He hosted late night horror shows, and I know every state probably had their own person or every little community or whatever, but this guy had his studios right down the road from me. We used to live off Webb Street here in Indianapolis, and right down the road you had Bluff Road, and they had the little studio there, and, you know, our schools would take us there, and you could see Sammy Terry's studio and everything. Of course, that's tore down. They don't even broadcast out of there no more, but I remember my dad always coming home from work. We'd get a big tub of popcorn. We'd sit in front of this guy on the TV, and we'd get ready to watch Sammy Terry host, like, just crummy movies, too. The good ones, you know what I mean? Like, not even B-horror movies, brother. It was, like, D, you know what I mean? If they even go lower than that. It was, like, The Thing with 20 heads, you know, from the swamp. And he used to host those kind of things, so. It was. I can't wait to have him on. I feel like a kid sitting in the studio tonight. I do, because I looked up to this guy. I think it was one of the reasons I got into the paranormal. Of course, the haunted house I grew up in, but... He was always there. He always had the movies every Friday night. I'd stay up till 1 or 2 in the morning watching them. So usually get the first one in, not the second one, you know? If you fall asleep to The Thing with 20 heads, you know, you're doing right. You're doing right. Because it's hard to keep your attention on those old black and white ones, you know? Well, so, but we got, what'd you say, Lee?
I was just thinking, you know, it's not that it's tough to stay awake during those things, but... you know, it's just not always easy to convince yourself that you should stay awake for that.
You would stay awake to hear Sammy Terry. I mean, when they would go to commercials or whatever, and he had this laugh. And I'm not even going to try to do it, but he had this laugh. And it scared my cousin. My cousin Dave, my older cousin.
Right.
He couldn't even walk in the room if Sammy Terry was on, because he would cry and run out screaming. So, Dave, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I just told the world that you're a big wuss. So.
I was going to say that you're a wussy. Thanks, Cousin Sean.
but he, to this day, he still doesn't like to see pictures of the guy, you know. I tried to get a hold of him this week to tell him Sammy was coming on the show tonight, or as we're going to get to know him up close and personal tonight, Mr. Bob Carter, the man behind the legend, so to speak.
That's right.
And then don't forget about Scared. We got Scared coming on the second one. And they sent me two DVDs, and we'll talk about those later. They sent them here to the Ghostman Demon Hunter Studios. Me and Nathan's going to have to watch them. We haven't had a chance to watch them both yet. But they basically go around and they videotape investigations. It's kind of like a it's really cool. We're going to have to let the guys explain it to you.
Because apparently Sean can't.
But you know what? I got to tell you about my weekend, Demon Hunter. Were you done with your weekend stories?
You know what? We'll talk a little bit more about Mid-South and everything in a bit. But go ahead. Tell me about your weekend. Because I happen to know you went somewhere this weekend to do something you hadn't done in a long time.
I sure did, brother. And I got to tell you guys, Nathan, out of the two of us, Nathan is the one that does the classier thing. You know what I'm saying? He smokes the nice cigars. He goes to theater. Real classy stuff. So this was kind of uncharacteristic for me, but I wanted to try it. And I talked to Nathan because I was scared to go. But I went to a play for the first time since I was like 10.
And he was scared to go.
I was scared to go, but they said it was Evil Dead. And, of course, if anybody knows Evil Dead with Ash, you know, Bruce Campbell and all those guys, it's a cult classic. It's a great movie, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and they did this play. It's called Evil Dead the Musical, and it was community theater that we went to. And I just got to tell you, if you like to see hands getting cut off and blood, they had a splatter zone at the theater. Now, that's my kind of theater. You know what I'm saying? They had usually you think it's classy, you know, people smoking pipes and sweaters. And these people covered in blood in the front row. I'd never seen anything like it. So it was great, man. We went in there, and it was affordable. You know, you go out to have a nice dinner. And you go see Evil Dead the Musical, guys. If it's coming through your town, check it out because, I mean, what can you do? It's got a talking moose head hanging on the wall. It sounds like an evil Bullwinkle. So, you know, and the guy cuts his hand. I can't tell everything, but anybody that's seen Evil Dead knows that he loses his hand. He cuts it off and replaces it with the chainsaw, and he kills Deadites, which are these zombies.
Which, you know, if you listen to our opening music, that song is about Evil Dead.
Right. It would be because that's Spectreman, and they dig the horror movies.
That's right.
Most of their songs are about some kind of scary movie. But then again, me and Stacy, we went to where'd we go? We went to one of Indiana's proudest pride of Indiana, the Covered Bridge Festival. It happened because this is Covered Bridge country. Now, I don't know, Demon Hunter, is Connecticut filled with covered bridges? I'm sure it is.
Well, you know, we have a few here and there. I don't think we have quite the covered bridge collection that you probably have out there west.
See, I would think you do because that's more Amish country out there, isn't it?
You go down to Pennsylvania, up farther north into farther New England, you'll get more of them. But around here, not so much.
Well, I just got to tell you, bro, I love this time of year. That's why I opened up with something that I wrote about the autumn leaves falling down and all that stuff, because that's what I love. And you know that, Demon Hunter. I love this time of year. It's crisp. It's fresh. The trees are changing color. And we drove down. It was about an hour and a half drive. It ended up taking 3 hours because everybody, this is a national event. You know, people come from all over the nation to come to Indiana's Covered Bridge Festival. It's the Rockville Covered Bridge Festival.
Okay.
And they got three different counties that are one county, Park County Covered Bridge Festival, but they have three different towns. They have these beautiful covered bridges. You get roasted chestnuts. You got vendors from all over the place selling crafts and stuff like that. A lot of Halloween stuff. You can't get name brand stuff, but you can get, like, you know how you have Tommy Hilfiger? I think they had Bobby Hilfiger. You know what I mean? You can get all those you want. And you can get some good deals and stuff. You know, they had lots of pumpkin candles, and they're out there making candles. And some guy had a chainsaw, and he was carving a gorilla out of a lump of wood. I always wondered how they did that.
They are talented.
Yes, very talented. This guy turned a rotted stump of wood into an eagle in like, I don't know, an hour out of with a chainsaw and a chisel. So, yeah. Yeah, way out of my league, but it's cool, guys. Check it out if you're around this area. It runs for a month, the entire month of October. And Park County Covered Bridge Festival, check it out online. But it was a fun-filled weekend, man. And like I said, Evil Dead the Musical, oh, my God, zombies dancing on stage, squirting blood everywhere. And you could hear the blood packets because it was like the opening night, Demon Hunter. So they were still working out the kinks. So when he went to saw into his girlfriend's head, the blood wasn't quite squirting out, so she had to fill up her mouth with blood and just spray it out all over the place. And it was, hey, it's got my vote. You know what I mean? But that's what I did this weekend, and today I just kind of laid around. And then, of course, the new house. We got the new studios, and the water heater was leaking, so I had to go tend to that. So nothing paranormal about that, let me tell you.
Did you start decorating for the spooky season yet?
Not yet. Did you?
Yeah, I started yesterday. Started putting up all the decorations.
Now, do you guys do that? You and Chrissy and everybody, that you guys get together and decorate the house?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a big deal for us. I've actually been working on some new stuff for this year because we have, like, classical, very, like, fancy Halloween stuff, and then we have goofy, you know, fun kind of... So trying to mix together.
Guys,
so different.
You guys have parties. You guys have parties and stuff at the house sometimes.
Actually, what we do is we have permission to attend. We hold parties at a local cemetery.
Wow.
So we go up to the local cemetery, and only people who are invited can go. So, you know, because it's just one of those things. You can't have everybody running around a cemetery at night. But we have cocktail hour. So it's... It's a tradition
of
ours.
You gotta post those pictures. A bunch of cats standing around the cemetery drinking wine. You gotta post some of those.
Oh yeah, I actually do have some of them. I should find them. And you know, we sit around and we pull out you know, our pipes, like you were saying before. And
yeah. You clean your pipes, right?
That's right. That's right, Sean. Oh my goodness, that is correct. And
that's what a lot of kids all over the U.S. clean their pipes at the cemetery.
Oh, Sean.
I'm a little rusty.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
Oh, man.
I'm a little rusty, brother. I'm coming back, guys. You got to give me a show or two to get back in here. I feel like I abandoned ship there for a couple weeks. You know, Magnus, good old Magnus, filled in for me on the last show. That was a great show you guys had. Dr. Barry Taft from the movie The Entity, or the actual professor that studied the entity.
Well, I felt bad because you actually set that interview up, and I wanted you there for it. But fortunately, Magnus was able to fill in because you were building the studio. But it was a great interview. He was really full of information. So,
of course, you had our good friend Charlie Carlson on.
That's right. And, you know, Charlie, we met through the Professor Slim King, and the professor sent us a voicemail. He wants to come on and... just do a little thing 1 week coming up and talk about some more stuff in the voodoo box.
I still got the voodoo box. We got it back here in the Ghostman Demon Hunter Studios.
So he wants to do some voodoo box kind of stuff. So,
well, I guess he's got something coming up. Did he talk any about that? About the
he didn't mention it in the He did not mention it in the voicemail, but, you know, he does have his prediction coming up where he's taking on who is it, the Amazing Randy or some guy like that.
Right, right. And Demon Hunter, little brother, I just wanted to take a second because you said it in the opening, but guys, we made the list of the top 10. Where was it, Demon Hunter? What website was that?
It's actually, I've put the link on our website. It's hauntedamericantours.com, I believe, is the actual link. Let me go all the way down to it here so I'm not wrong here. It's at the bottom of the page. Yes, hauntedamericantours.com. We made the top 10 best, most haunted paranormal radio shows and broadcasts. So I
just wanted to thank our listeners out there and everybody around the world that went and voted for us. We didn't even know they had these little things going up there, but we're proud to be on that list. That's awesome. We got some great listeners, man.
We do. And like, I knew that they did this last year I looked at it and was like, well, maybe someday we'll get up there. And sure enough, 1 year later, our listeners made us number 5. So, you know, I'm very proud to be up on that list. And we're up there with our friends from Ghostly Talk and Encounters and, you know, all these guys that been making this their life for so many years. Now we're right up there with them. So,
yeah, it gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling in a very, very secret, special place. I got it right now.
Oh,
no,
Sean.
It does, man. So I wanted to mention that and thank everybody that voted for us. I guess that's how they go to the website and tell them they like our show. So
I didn't even know they were voting. So I didn't know that I didn't even get to vote for ourselves.
Yeah, we knew nothing about it. We could have dropped at least 5,000 votes in there for ourselves.
Yeah, you know, maybe gotten one up there. But that's okay. We made the list and we're proud of it. And we wanted to thank everybody.
And I wanted to thank, getting back to what you said before, I wanted to thank the beautiful, beautiful Keith Age for letting us come out and do the Mid-South Paranormal Conference. Always a good time. Thank you, Keith.
It was a great conference. I know we weren't going to mention it, but I just wanted to say it. I know some people got sick while they were out there, you know, and it had nothing to do with the conference. It was there's no proof of what it was yet, but... you know, they are asking that people contact the state regarding that, not Keith Age, because it wasn't the conference that people got sick from. It was the hotel. So if you had a problem when you came back, there was a number floating around out there. I may even find it and post it on our forums. But you contact the state health department for Kentucky or the hotel itself, not Keith Age.
Not LGHS. LGHS,
they put on a hell of a conference, and I got to say, I was really proud to be there.
Oh, I was amazed at the speakers that were there this year. I mean, they had Harry Houdini's Only Living Kinfolk or whatever there this year. I mean, it was amazing.
And you know what? I'm so upset because I didn't realize he was letting people put on the straitjacket and try and get out of it. And, you know, it's been years since I've been in a straitjacket, and I really wanted to get into one.
Well, so it's days for me, but still, I wanted to get in that one, you know? So it was...
Pause. You still there, Sean? I don't hear you. Oh, Sean, what did you do? Anyway, since I can't seem to hear Sean right now, I'll have to try and bring him back. Some of the interesting stuff that I wanted to go over here, let's talk about our... international listeners. Right after I put Sean back on the system here, find out what happened to him. There we go. Bring Sean's mic back in. Anyway, our international listeners. We back in Cape Town, South Africa. Go figure that did in South Africa. I can't.
Hello,
you're back. I was just talking about our international listeners while you were off the line there.
Go ahead.
I was saying how we have listeners in Cape Town, South Africa. And ever
what?
Since Cape Town, South Africa. So ever since I saw the movie Lethal Weapon, I think it was number 2, I can't say South Africa right anymore because there's that great scene where he goes into the South African consulate. And now every time I say it, I have to say South Africa. And
South Africa? I thought you were going to say Shaka Zulu. That was filmed in South Africa. It was about the Zulu Nation. That was somewhere out there in Africa, I think.
A little bit farther north there, Sean. But
yeah, maybe it was north. I don't know.
And,
but I don't know what happened with the system here, Demon Hunter. I hope it's not the normal thing here in the new G&D Show studios, because I could hear you the whole time.
Well, you just kind of backed out of the system. You're going to have to play with your buttons, Sean, until you get it right.
I do play with my buttons quite often.
I know you do. Let me throw out a thank you there to, and I'm hoping I'm saying these right, Medellin, Colombia, Lyon, France. I'm not even going to try this one. All right, I'll give it a go. Karlskrona, and that would be in, Karlskrona. I'm guessing that is in Sweden.
Somewhere at Carl's house.
and Cumbenhaven. And, of course, our friends out there in the middle of Australia, still big listeners to the show. So I'm thrilled that they're all there.
Good day, mate.
What do you say we take a break, Sean? When we come back, we'll have we'll listen. Actually, GD's not going to be on tonight. She's running around doing some other stuff. So when we come back on, we'll have the weird news and the weird locations and that kind of fun stuff.
We got some hot news, guys. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back.
Experience the charm and mystery of the Deep South through ghost stories by attending the highly respected Roswell Ghost Tour. Your experienced guide will lead you on this two-hour outdoor walking tour through the historic district of Roswell. One of the highlights of the tour is a visit to Founders Cemetery, the burial site of Roswell King, where bodies are buried beneath modern streets and houses. Grand Greek Revival mansions and humble mill workers' apartments are some of the haunted sites you'll see on this mile of easy walking. Check RoswellGhostTour.com for the current schedule. Tours run most Friday and Saturday nights year-round, and private tours may be arranged. Reservations are required. Call 770-649-9922. That's 770-649-9922 for more information. Happy haunting from Roswell Ghost Tours.
Hey, this is Nathan S. of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. When we needed a logo that would tell people what we were all about but was different from anything else out there, we went right to Loki Graphics at LokiGraphicsInc.com. We love the artwork that owner and illustrator Jonathan Sullivan came up with so much, we ordered our t-shirts and banners from Loki Graphics right away. They provided us with high-quality graphic art, screen printing, and helped us pick out the best value for our t-shirts and other products that fit our budget. LokiGraphicsInc.com is the official graphic designer and screen printer for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Phone, email, and postal orders are all accepted, with contact information available on their website. Shipping is available for any order, or if you're local, you can stop by the shop and pick up your finished product. Check out Loki Graphics at LokiGraphicsInc.com and tell them the Ghostman and Demon Hunter sent you.
Okay, well, if anyone else wants to call in and talk on the G&D Show, all they have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, enter 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
Hi, I'm William Bradshaw, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm a demonologist. I study evil spirits and Satan, and it's a real privilege to be on the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Oh, my, oh, my.
Oh, I'm sorry. That coming back, that intro. Mr. Bradshaw, that... I mean, you get some every once in a while, you know. The ghost man.
Well, it never fails. Nobody ever gets our name right on the first shot. We've only had a few that have done it when recording. When we came up with the name of the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, I really didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal. But apparently...
I didn't either.
Apparently it was.
It rolls off the tongue, man. It rolls off the tongue.
I think so.
Yeah, I thought it rolled off the tongue, but you know what? Demon Hunter, you know what time it's for, right?
No, I don't.
That was the G&D Show, what we call her, the Banshee.
Yeah. Right?
She just got in the news, yeah. She's so glad that, yes, I'll tell him, she's so glad to be back in studio. She was in a box for like 3 weeks, so.
Well, is the Banshee going to get some time out of the box now that Halloween's here? She's going to be able to sit upstairs and, Or is she strictly going to live in the G&D studio?
She lives in the studio. She wears the official G&D Red Wings hat. Go Wings. Go Wings.
Okay. Okay, I see how it is.
But, man, we've had so much happen since last time I was on. I was biting at the bit to get on here and talk about it. But, of course, this week from the Yahoo News, special thanks to them because we got a lot out of them guys. But Nepal appoints 3-year-old as new living goddess. Did you hear about that, Demon Hunter?
I did. And, you know, I wondered why, you know, it just doesn't seem fair. I have never been, like, chosen to be a living god.
And I know.
You know, and I was looking at the, like, requirements for her to become the living god.
Yeah.
She's got to have, like, I think it says she has to have, like, the loins of a fawn. Well, you know, I've got some pretty fawn-like loins.
I've never checked out a fawn's loins.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like the chest, I think it's like the chest of a bull, and, you know, this.
Wow.
And so I'm reading this stuff thinking, you know, I could be all these things. And she, she only remains a goddess until she becomes of childbearing age.
Yeah. Hold on. It tells you right here.
But you know what, Sean, you know who will never be of childbearing age? Me.
Who?
I'm never going to bear children. So why
just,
have I never been?
You don't have those hips. What, you why, don't have those kind of hips.
Why have I never been chosen to be a living god? It just doesn't seem fair.
you just don't have those kind of hips, man. But you know, I read the book I was telling you about, guys, because I got all zen-like, right? I wanted to keep the zen. I think that's important. Balance in life. You know, we got the radio show. You got real life, which half the time sucks because you're at work all the time, and then you got your home life, personal life, all these good different lives you got to live, usually in 2 days a week. That's what work allows. But it says, like I said, Nepal appoints 3-year-old as new living goddess. And I was reading that book, The Accidental Buddhist. And that's a great book. If you guys ever get your hand on it, the name of the author skips me right now. I have to find that author for you guys and post it. But Hindu and Buddhist priests chanted sacred hymns and cascaded flowers and grains over rice over a 3-year-old girl who was appointed a living goddess in Nepal on Tuesday. Wrapped in red silk and adorned with red flowers in her hair, bear with me, guys, Mantana Shakya received approval from the priest and President Ram Baran Yadav in a centuries-old tradition with deep ties to Nepal's monarchy, which was abolished in May. The new, help me on this, Demon Hunter, Kumari...
Oh, I don't even know. I don't have it in front of me.
The new K-U-M-A-R-I, the new Kumari, or living goddess, no disrespect to the new living goddess, was carried from her parents' home to an ancient temple in the heart of Nepal, capital Kathmandu, where she will live until she reaches puberty and loses her divine status. That's okay. When we all lose it.
Yeah.
Puberty. Apparently. A panel of judges conducted a series of ancient ceremonies to select a goddess from several 2 to 4-year-old girls who are all members of impoverished goldsmith caste. I guess that's like the village or that's the people they're with, the group, whatever you call it. And this was what was really interesting, guys. The judges read the candidates' horoscopes and check each one for physical imperfection. The living goddess must have perfect hair, eyes, teeth, and skin with no scars, and should not be afraid of the dark. Maybe that's why you didn't make it.
That could be. You know, I'm okay unless they lock me in a basement in the dark. Then, you know, those childhood horrors of my brother locking me in the basement and telling me the trolls were coming to get me, those come back on me then.
Yeah, I didn't know about that. I just found that out about my brother, Demon Hunter. We were in Kentucky, and he told me his fear of trolls.
It's the only thing I'm afraid of. Trolls and sharks, because they're both evil creatures and need to be destroyed. So
we're not too Animal Planet friendly tonight. But anyway, having passed all the tests, the child will stay in almost complete isolation at the temple and will be allowed to return to her family only at the onset of menstruation, when a new goddess will be named to replace her. It said, her mom says, "I feel a bit sad, but since my child has become a living goddess, I feel proud." It says, devotees touch the girl's feet with their foreheads, the highest sign of respect among Hindus in Nepal during religious festivals, and the goddess are wheeled around in a chariot pulled by devotees. So that's it, guys. You got a new living goddess in Nepal. But it says when she starts the menstruation, that's usually when most women lose their goddess status. Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
I'm going to have to take the hit from the ASPCA about wanting all sharks dead, but I'm not taking the hit for that one.
I wasn't letting you go down by yourself. I got all kinds. Do you got any stories tonight, Demon Hunter? Because I got one. It's a humdinger, and it is going to put me and you into a debate for the next 15 minutes or whatever we got.
Well, I'm just going to talk about a weird location really fast there. Right now, our friends Mark and Mark over at WeirdUS.com, they're rebuilding their website, it looks like. So I wasn't able to go on and get this week's story. So I opened one of my Weird New Jersey magazines and pulled up a little story about a town I used to go and hang out in when I lived in New Jersey, and that is Hopatcon, New Jersey. And apparently there are these pink elephants seen all over Hopatcon, New Jersey. Line left way open there for you, Sean. Pink elephants. All right, never mind. Sean couldn't do anything with the pink elephants line. No, people aren't drinking heavily in Hopatcon, New Jersey. Well, maybe they are. I don't know.
Or in the TV studio.
I remember drinking a little heavily in Hopatcon, New Jersey myself. But the pink elephants are named Dr. Magic, and they are numbered all over the town. Some of them have been removed over the years, and though some people claim to be the artist of the pink elephants, you can actually go out and look for them all throughout the area. They're painted on the Elba Point School, on the Hydrin Cement in, I'm going to say, Curtin Road and Rames Road. You can find them all over the docks. There's one painted underneath the dock. You have to, get over to the side of the water and look down to be able to see where this person painted the pink elephants. Quite frankly, I don't consider it graffiti when somebody actually took some time and talent and went out and did something cool like this. I think, more people in Hopatcon, New Jersey, and everywhere should be seeing more pink elephants. Anyway, back to you, Sean.
The gangbangers, they put forth time and effort when they go out there and put their stuff all over the walls here in Indianapolis. I don't know about... Is that art, too?
I don't know, but...
Gangbangers, you're on G&D Show.
Just a reminder to our friends who are logging into the chat room. We were having some problems earlier. If you don't see anything coming up on your screen after a while, or you don't hear or you type something that doesn't go up, you might have been logged out. You may have to come in, go out and come back in under another name. I thought Muldoon might have been logged out, but knowing him, he probably fell asleep in front of the computer. So
not only does the name swapping work for our chat room, but also for the IRS.
Okay, that one really requires, just for legal reasons.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
I ain't going to jail for you, bro. I ain't going.
We're going to share a cell, man.
But anyway, hold on. Let me finish it up. For this Weird New Jersey and other Weird U.S. information, you can check out our friends Mark and Mark at Weird U.S. at www.weirdus.com.
Those are good guys. We need to talk to those guys. We haven't talked to them since Gettysburg.
Yeah, they've got a lot of stuff on their plate right now, I know, but they've got books coming out and magazines and working on the YouTube stuff now. So, wow,
right.
It's a big one. But
I got to tell our guests, guys, the Travel Channel, we were going to have them on the show, the cats that do the, what is that, Demon Hunter, the Most Haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And we still might in the future, but we had some scheduling conflicts with those guys. But we were going to have them on the show to talk about Gettysburg. And I came home Friday night, and I caught that 7 hours live, Gettysburg.
Oh, I really wanted to see that, too. That was Saturday night?
That was Friday night.
Friday night. Well, yeah, Friday night. I was working, so that's why I didn't.
Yeah, I got home from work, and I caught, the last 20 minutes. And they went to the Jenny Wade house. Nate, they were standing out on Little Round Top. That's how they ended the show. And they were hearing hoof beats and stuff like that. And it just, I love, you know how special that place is to us.
Yeah.
So I love it. I love it, man. They did a good job. Maybe we'll get them on in the future. Who knows? But, the England time and our time is just all messed up. So, but you got the blood swapping reanimates dead dogs, guys. And this comes from the Fox News. Special thanks to them. But blood swapping reanimates dead dogs. This is a big one here. It says, it's the night of the living dogs. In a series of nightmarish experiments straight out of a horror flick, scientists at a leading university have killed dozens of dogs, then brought them back to life. The hapless pooches who have their blood drained for up to 3 hours are being reanimated in a bid to develop the use of suspended animation to help, this is key here, to help humans who are injured in combat or crime. From our standpoint, we believe it's a very important area of research, said Dr. Patrick Kochek from the Safari Center of Resuscitation Research at the University of Pittsburgh. But animal rights activists last night slammed the research as indefensible, cruel, and inhumane. In the unsettling test, dogs of all breeds and sizes are put under their vein, or put under their veins are drained of blood and filled with an ice-cold salt solution, which drops their blood temperature from the normal 101 degrees to near freezing. That puts them in a state of extreme hypothermia, making them scientifically dead with no breathing, heartbeat, or brain activity. But their tissues and vital organs are preserved. The corpses are then brought back to life by returning the blood to their bodies, giving them pure oxygen and applying electric shock, Demon Hunter, to restart their hearts. For a long time, the test subjects couldn't be brought back to life after more than 2 hours, but recently, the researchers added glucose and more oxygen to the blood and have pushed the maximum time the dogs can be dead to 3 hours. It says, we tried to get it to 4 hours, but we're just not having any luck with that. The lucky ones turn out to be perfectly normal with no brain damage, although other dogs are stricken with serious physical or behavioral problems. We do not in any way say the outcome is normal. He said his goal is to be able to put humans, such as critically wounded soldiers or stabbing or shooting victims, in a state of suspended animation for a few hours until they can receive proper medical help. He's got teams working on this all around the country, guys, and like I said, the inhumane people that they're talking about, these experiments are indefensible nonsense, and the results for humans will be negligible. I would also imagine there are serious consequences for these animals that aren't discussed. Kochek angrily denies he's creating a race of zombie dogs fit for a Stephen King novel. It's very scientific, and those types of words are totally inappropriate. This is an attempt to buy a little time for people who would otherwise just die. We're suggesting that the alternative to this is death. And that's what he said, and that comes from the Fox News. But that raises up a good question, one I would like to have in the forums, Demon Hunter. Is this wrong? Not only is this cat doing this to the animals and bringing them back, but we're talking Night of the Living Dead here, man.
We're not talking Night. See, if we were talking Night of the Living Dead, I would say, no, it's definitely not wrong, because, man, I've been saying we need to figure out how these zombies, when they attack, how they're going to work, because we know they're coming. We all know that zombies are eventually coming.
They got it.
I'm building the barricades around my house, you know, like every day, to make sure that I'm ready when the zombies attack. You know, this will be a safe zone. And
see, zombies freak me out. You know that. There's one thing about this, and it's zombies. They freak me out. All the Night of the Living Dead shows, all that flips me out. So I started doing some more research on this. What happens when we die? And that's by M.G. Stevie. I don't have time to go through the whole thing, I know. But at New York City's Weill Cornell Medical Center, Dr. Sam Parnia is doing a study about near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences. I'm sorry. The program's called Awareness. It's Awareness During Resuscitation. And what this guy's going to do, Demon Hunter, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
He wants to put pictures only visible from the ceiling and nowhere else, because people are claiming they can see everything from the ceiling when they're out of body or whatever, when they die. Says, so if he gets a series of 200, 300 people who were all clinically dead and yet they're able to come back and tell us what we're doing and we're able to see those pictures, that confirms consciousness really was continuing even though the brain wasn't functioning. So this guy started talking about, and this gets into ghosts too, the difference between mind and brain. And, you know, he starts talking about it. He says, you know, if you look at the mind, consciousness, and the brain, the assumption that the mind and the brain are the same thing is fine for most circumstances, because in 99% of the circumstances, we can't separate the mind and the brain. They work at exactly the same time. But then there are certain extreme examples, like when the brain shuts down, that we see that this assumption may not work. So this is telling us, Demon Hunter. He's also talking about time of death and all this stuff. People might not be dying when you think they're dying. When you're laying on the bed and you breathe your last breath, these cats might not be dead.
Well, you know? I think that's perfectly possible. I've read actually his reports, because the book I told you I like, Spooked by Mary Roach, she goes into those studies, and they had one where like somebody had said that they saw a shoe out on a ledge. And they found the shoe, I believe, but there was no way to say that they didn't know about the shoe on the ledge before they went into the surgery. So I think it's a good experiment. As for dogs being used in these experiments, you know, the two different, you're looking at two different things here. Are the experiments inhumane, or will the ends justify the means? Quite frankly, if I think they can find a way to save somebody's life who might need 3 hours to wait for a heart to show up or a kidney transplant or something, or, you know, have to be transported and they can save their life, I think it's a goal worth aiming for. Whether or not it's humane with the way they're treating the dogs, we don't have all the information. And if the dogs are being treated humanely in these experiments, I'd have to say that it's worth trying to save lives doing it.
Yeah, but at the same time, if they start, and I agree with you on that, but at the same time, if they start bringing people back and Uncle Tom comes back as, you know, all tore up and starts rotting and his brains have to, what happens in the zombie movies? These things come back and all they know how to do is eat human flesh, right? So it says right here that dogs are coming back and a lot of them are having brain damage, you know, from the 3 hours being gone or whatever. But, you know, and then that brings up the age-old question, the soul and the body, you know, the difference. The religious people are going to get involved in all that and say, hey, man, your soul, what time does the soul leave the body, you know?
Right. And if the body is repaired, does the soul return? Like I've often talked about the difference between spirit and soul. I think they're two different things. The energy that makes us up, I don't believe, is necessarily the spark of life that is our soul. So. Right. You know, it's major debatable. Yeah, you're right. We're going to have to take a show just to talk about that.
That's why I figured you'd enjoy that conversation. But it was amazing, the blood-swapping reanimates dead dogs. I'm hanging it up here in the Ghostman Demon Hunter Studios because that was really a piece of news that we're going to hear something about. It's going to come out on CNN one day. Soldier or you know, stabbed victim revived after 14 hours of death or whatever. And you're going to have your first person, and you know everybody's going to be asking, what was it like?
You know, the real question is, are they going to do these tests on sheep? Because we all know what happens if we get zombie sheep.
Zombie sheep!
It could be bad. Bad! It could be really bad!
Oh,
anyway.
Man, I need a button for that one. Comments of Nathan, the bad jokes of Nathan. Hey, yeah, dude. But that's interesting, man. I'm interested to see what's going to happen with that. But, you know, zombies are a very real threat here when you start talking about that kind of stuff.
Oh, sure. So. Zombies are a really big threat. I'll admit to that one, but people don't admit to my troll problem. Okay.
Right.
Something seems wrong there. But before we wrap up and go to a break there, Sean, before we come back with Mr. Sammy Terry, I just wanted to give a shout-out and a thanks to the folks down there at Haunted Hickory who had me down there to give a lecture. Why they wanted me there, I don't know. And I felt bad because I got down there and people hear the name Demon Hunter, they immediately jump to thinking I'm a demonologist. Even Tim Yancey introduced me like 3 times as a demonologist, and I kept saying, I'm not a demonologist, I just play one on the radio. I study people, I study faiths, I study beliefs, I've studied demonology, that doesn't make me a demonologist. So when I went down there, I gave a talk on different people's belief systems and how, you know, if you go into somebody's home, you need to know what they believe they're dealing with so that they don't... you know, that you don't scare people more than they have to be. You don't offend them. You can help them get through certain things that if you just go in and tell them what you believe is happening, chances are they're going to walk away from it being really freaked out. So I gave lectures on that in paranormal theory and basically saying, you know, I don't believe we're going to have a great big paranormal hug one day and everybody's going to get along, but people have to be a little bit more acceptable of each other.
Yeah.
Why not? Because, you know, I know what it's like, Sean. I deal with you every week. I know what it's like to deal with somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about. So
I don't know. I got pretty scientific tonight. My head's hurting, man.
We're gonna have to find you some books and stuff, you know.
We gotta do something. Do some more reading.
But my thanks go out there to Johnny and Clem and Eddie down there at Haunted Hickory. If you guys didn't get out to Haunted Hickory, it was a great time. I was dealing with being sick while I was down there, but I went to the doctors and they put me on these pills for the cold. And that night I walked back into the meet and greet and Shannon Sylvia from Ghost Hunters Inc. Or Ghost Hunters International, excuse me, Ghost Hunters International, GHI, Ghost Hunters International, walks up to me and says, you know, man, you're yellow. I'm like, I'm yellow? What are you talking about? I was wearing a yellow coat, so I thought maybe there was a, no, I went back into my room that night, I was yellow. Look at the medicine, it says may cause jaundice. So I felt bad for like all these people who met me for the first time. I was yellow all over and, But we had a great time. It was a great venue. I got to play with Keith Age's thermal imaging camera.
Oh, phew, you saved that one.
Yep, I sure did. Pulled it right out of the fire. I was waiting for you to make the comment, but you didn't work fast enough. But no, I got to work with that really nice thermal imaging camera that Keith uses in Spooked or in Children of the Grave and in the new movies. Man, it's a really neat toy. Yeah, I walked away with that going, boy, I want one. That particular one is like, that's one of the most expensive ones out there. You're talking having to choose between buying that particular thermal imaging camera and your house.
Wow.
So, it was fun. It was fun to get to meet everybody and do some ghost hunting with some friends and, you know, hung out with Patrick Burns from, True TV. He's going to
be a guest.
He's going to be a guest, next week, I think it is. And then, or the week after, one of the two. And, Shannon Sylvia from Ghost Hunters International and Stephen LaChance and of course Jason Gowan and Tim and Trish Yancey. It was a fun time. So we had a great time and thank you guys for having us down there. Next year I want to go back. Sean, you got to go back with me because it was fun.
If we can get the G&D Show airplane to fly out there, we'd be okay.
We'd be okay. And you know, the other thing is, you know, the only other thing I have to say is Clem, no more pancakes, okay? Just no more pancakes. And on that note, Sean, why don't we take a quick break? I was going to throw in some Spectrum in, but I couldn't pull up the song in time. So we're going to listen to a ballad by our friends at Soul Dog, If Tomorrow Never Came. And you can check them out at souldog.com. And, of course, guitarviking.com. And let's take a break, Sean.
Let's take a break. Stay tuned, guys. Sammy Terry up next.
This is Doug.
And this is Scott L. from Ghostly Talk.
Reminding you to tune in to Ghostly Talk on Sundays from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Heck yeah, Doug. Visit Ghostly Talk at www.ghostlytalk.com, one of the world's premier paranormal talk shows.
Totally, Scott. Download hundreds of free show archives, read the world's latest paranormal news, and be sure to visit our forums.
Pimping the grassroots paranormal community since 2002.
Dead air never sounded so good on Ghostly Talk.
With a smile and a song. The Darker Side of the Moon is a listener's guide to the creepy, the spooky, and the unexplained. The Darker Side is an alternative variety show that delves deep into the shadowy secrets of just about everything, from the occult to dark comedy. Sometimes serious, but mostly fun. Our show has a little for everyone. Join me, Becky Ray, and Laura Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 8 p.m. Central and 6 p.m. Pacific at DarkerSideRadio.com.
Okay, well, if anyone else wants to call in and talk on the G&D show, all they have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, enter 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
It's Keith Age with the Louisville Ghost Hunters. You're listening to Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, the coolest show on radio.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Welcome back, everybody, and what a show we got for you this evening. Right, Nate?
Oh, it seems that way.
It does, it does. But I got to tell you guys, you know, I'm having a little problem with the chat site, Nate. I have been out, I logged out, I came back in, so I can't monitor anybody in the chat site right now.
Oh, well, it looks like everybody's having that kind of problem with the chat site, Sean. That's why next week we will have the new Ghostman and Demon Hunter chat site up. I will make it a priority this week to do it. So, folks, come in next week, like I said, a little early so you can register for the new chat site and be there. It's going to be the same kind of chat site they have over at Ghostly Talk. So,
well, I got to tell you, brother, and I got to tell all our listeners around the world, tonight is a very special night for the Ghost Man and the Demon Hunter, and on this show, because the little Ghost Man grew up listening or watching this gentleman on TV every Friday night. He was the late night spooky show host on Channel 4. Here in Indianapolis, and I would like to welcome him to the show, Mr. Bob Carter, better known as Sammy Terry.
Good evening.
See, I got chills. I got chills right now, guys. I got to tell you.
Mr. Carter, I just have to tell you, Sean was saying earlier that his cousin couldn't look at our website this week because your photo was up there, and that photo still scares him from when he was a little boy.
Good. That's a very heartfelt thought. If I could get right to the heart and make it pulse and loud.
Now, Sammy, you've been having a very, of course, we're talking to Sammy Terry here on the Ghostman Demon Hunter, so you've been having a very busy weekend. What have you been up to?
Oh, I've been up to a lot of things. Yesterday, I was at Harrodsburg, Indiana, and unfortunately we had more people there than I could sign autographs for. it was an extremely large crowd, but it was out in the woods where we had the shadows and all of the creepy things. And if you want to talk about the creepy things, the most creepy was the audience.
Now, do people show up at these dressed as Sammy Terry?
No, nobody came dressed as Sammy Terry. I can't understand that because I already was. And maybe that's the reason I intimidated them into paroxysms.
Now, you can't beat the original. You can't beat the original, Sammy, that's for sure. But whatever happened to George? George was your friend on the show.
Oh, he's still hanging around.
And for those people that don't know, I don't know where you've been, but George is a spider that used to be Sammy's co-host on the show. He would come in and he squeaked and squawked, but the only person that could understand him was Sammy.
And he says some of the most intelligent things that I've ever heard. Much more intelligent than you hear from the politicians in Washington.
George for president.
That's now, right. George would make an excellent president.
Now, Sammy, I remember when I was really, when I was little, I was probably in fifth or sixth grade, and my school took me to the Channel 4 studios. And I got to go inside your castle. I got to see your coffin and everything was there. And that was such a big treat. Do you meet a lot of people like that that tell you these same stories? I'm sure you do.
Yes, well, I've been doing this for so long that it's surprising. Nothing surprises me at all, because everyone seems to have a favorite cemetery story that affected them, and it's true. It's amazing how many. Well, for instance, last night at Harrodsburg, this gentleman came. We incidentally have pictures and T-shirts and soap on a rope and all kinds of things that I autograph. And
now, do you autograph a lot of soap on the rope? It's
no, that I really, my autograph doesn't work too well on the soap on a rope. But the whole thing is that this one man came up, and he was, I would say he was in his early 50s, and he told me that ever since he was a very young boy, he had watched my show, and it made him wet his pants. And would you believe he did it again?
I bet he did. I remember when I was little, I got to go to right when the video store started opening around Central Indianapolis area. You know, the VCRs came out. We got our first VCR, and we were able to go to this movie store, Demon Hunter. And I walked in, and there he was, the man himself, Sammy Terry, signing autographs. And I still have here in the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Studios the yellow picture of Sammy with his autograph on it.
Well, good. That means you have a very good filing system.
That's right. I've kept it since I was 13 years old, and I've had it. And you meant so much to us, Sammy. You mean so much to us. And all the kids of the 70s, 80s, up to this day right now, because I remember last year I went to the Horror Hounds convention, and Sammy was there. He is actually going to be
there last year. I was there this year.
Yep, you were there this year. I didn't get to make it out, but I went to the one last year. And you, Nathan, you had all these people. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you had all these people from Hollywood and stuff, and everybody was getting their autographs and everything, and the doors open, and who comes through but Mr. Sammy Terry? And I swear, you never seen so many people turn around and clap and stand up and do cartwheels in your life. Because when he came in, they turned, it was a feel good, man, because you knew those people were on the same page as you. We all grew up watching you, Sammy, and you meant so much, you mean so much to us, and we love what you're doing out there right now. And you got a book coming out, right?
We're working on it. It's not ready yet, but it's, we're all I can say is we're working on it. It's going to have a lot of pictures of my appearances and things that I have done and so on. And it's going to have a lot of stories, and not the type of stories that I tell on on the air or on the stage, but rather stories about what I do and have done. And it's going to be a most interesting book. I'm anxious to see what it comes out like.
I can't wait. I'll be the first one to buy it. I can't wait when it comes. Do they have a date coming up or a tentative?
No, we don't. I don't have a target date. I was afraid to do that because you know what people do with targets.
Yeah, they shoot them.
Arrows at them.
But you know what, Sammy? Could you tell us maybe a little bit about how the show started here in Indiana?
Well, before we get into that, I just wanted to ask him really fast, because, Mr. Terry, you were saying that that gentleman basically wet himself when he saw you. Have you thought about starting your own line of adult diapers so that with the Sammy Terry level? So when you come on stage, people won't mess their sofas up.
I hadn't thought about that one. But It is amazing, all of the various things that come up. And the way the show started was Hollywood released the really good horror movies of the 30s and the late 20s and the early 40s, the Boris Karloffs and the Lon Chaneys and all of those Frankenstein and Dracula and Mummy and all of those wonderful movies. The Channel 4 bought the package, and a salesman went out and sold a half sponsorship of it and came back and told us that it went on in the air in 2 weeks and that I had put together I was doing the on-the-air promotion for the station as well. And I had put together a thing. We used a weird voice and some good classical music. That's the most horrible thing. If classic music, it does a much better job of frightening people than all of the rock and roll in the world. Actually, the rock and roll, it is the only thing that it frightens are the musicians. but the I got the assignment to do it, and we had to have a host for the show and somebody to introduce the commercials, and that fell to me. I had 2 weeks to put the whole show together, and all I had was a title, Shock Theater. And that was it. And if you want to see people really scratching and scrambling and going out of their minds and losing sleep, that was the time. And from that came, amazingly enough, but not by any design at all, but rather from it came Sammy Terry and Nightmare Theater and, everything that's gone on for the last nearly 50 years.
Now, I was just talking with my roommate. I'm so confused now. I don't know whether to say Sammy or if I should say Bob, but it's...
It depends upon what kind of an answer you're expecting. If you're expecting a Sammy-Terry answer...
Let me ask...
That is Sammy.
Let me
if
ask...
If you're expecting a sensible answer, it's Bob.
Well, let me go with Bob then on this one, because I was sitting down with Sean and I were talking about decorating the house and... getting everything ready for Halloween, and I'm sure your house must be a fun
place for
Halloween.
That's a fun time. That's about like we're decorating the Christmas tree.
But, you know, I was also asking...
Only use old dead bodies.
Yeah, well, that Sean and I were discussing the whole reanimating of them today, so it should be interesting. But the thing I had to ask you was, when Halloween comes around, this is the time of the year that I pull out... all the old DVDs, the Mr. Sardonicus, and you know the Plan 9 from Outer Space, and I pull out all my great spooky films from the time period. What films, like with all the films you've seen over the years, which ones do you like pull out this time of the year and have to watch, or what are the ones that you keep going back to?
The movies that I go back to are those of the basically the ones that I've talked about here just a few minutes ago would be the original horror movies of the early 30s and the late 20s. I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't go up in history any farther than that because Hollywood has a strange mentality. I don't think they have a mentality. But they seem to think that horror is horrible. Actually, horror is not horrible. Horror is in your mind and what you make of it. So that when Hollywood makes a horror movie these days, you're 9 times out of 10, you're going to have a very peaceful, serene setting, a pastoral setting probably, and then all of a sudden there's going to be a big crash and a scream and a funk, and rolling down the street into the gutter will come a head spurting blood out of the neck and going on down into the sewer. As soon as it hits the sewer, then the screen will go back to that serene, beautiful, pastoral setting. And they call that horror. That's not horror. That's horrible. It should never be. They should never waste the film on it. Actually, the really good horror movies, like in the 1920s or 1930s and early 40s, if you take, I can think of one of my favorite scenes from one of my favorite movies is the Frankenstein monster.
Okay. Yes.
Did you ever see, just a question, this has nothing to do with my story here, but have you ever seen the Frankenstein monster even touch anyone out of anger or meaning to hurt them or anything?
No, he was always scared.
Except in self-defense?
Yeah, he was always just scared. I get that.
Well, you never did see him do anything except in self-defense. And in the original Frankenstein movie, he is sitting on the bank of a pond with a little girl, and they're picking the petals off of a daisy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing you see is the square of the town, and coming through the square is a farmer carrying his daughter's body, and this is the little girl that was with the Frankenstein monster, and he's got her in it, and she's dead.
Right.
Now, what do you think has happened?
The monster killed her.
You what?
You would think the monster killed her.
That's right. And so, but you didn't see it. You
nope.
didn't hear it. You had nothing to make you think that, except by associating some of the things that had gone on. And that means that the horror of the movie was in your mind.
That's where it's at. That's where it's at. Now, Bob, I got one question for you, and I'm dying to ask, because I always wondered what happened at Sammy's Castle in between commercial breaks, like when the show was on. What was going on behind the scenes there?
Oh, probably taking a nap.
I was saying, because you was working a double job.
No, a lot of times, a lot of things have gone on preparing for the next commercial break. And that was particularly true in the early days when the show first started, because everything was live and you'd have to set up the commercials and prepare and get everything set up so that when you came into the next commercial break, you could give ABC Company their due and demonstrate their product. So that there was a lot of work involved in that. And that went on for a long time until finally we got videotape, and we could put the commercials onto videotape and play them back and over and over and over again, and that there wouldn't even have to be an announcer or a person, not even a cameraman. in the studio. Just play the tape.
Well, but, you know what, Bob, when you did that, that was the age of, they call it golden television, I think. That was the golden age of television when you was doing that, and now you can't find a show like what you created, what you and your staff created on Channel 4 at the time. You can't find anything like that anymore. There's just nothing like it.
I agree with you. And that's a real shame, and it's something that the young people today particularly are missing out on, because they're missing out on that immediacy of live television, of live everything. How many kids would much rather be playing Nintendo or Pokemon or something,
right,
rather than looking out the window of the car at the Rocky Mountains as they're driving by?
Right.
Instead, they're playing the stupid game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're becoming addicts to canned, I guess it would be canned, torture. The only thing that I can say, because they're missing and losing all of the wonderful things that can come about by personal live experience, and there's no replacement for that. I wish there were. If there were, I would find a way to get it in, because you're getting all of this zombie training into the classrooms and into everything.
Yeah.
Well, see, Sean's very afraid of zombies, and I just realized you're right. We don't have to worry about creating zombies in the labs, because we're creating them with, like, Nintendo and stuff like that. Where everybody's going to be a zombie before long.
We know.
That's right.
I got to say, Bob, I had a Nintendo, and I loved fudge rounds when I was 13, but when Friday night came around, I was in front of the tube watching you, my friend.
And you would be surprised how many people are doing that. I'm going to be in Madison.
That's at the Ohio Theater, right?
At the Ohio Theater. And at all of these things, I expect to be something like maybe... 1,000 or more people. You wouldn't believe the number of people that were out there in the middle of the woods last night. And in Madison, I'll be at the Ohio Theater on October 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be selling our merchandise as well, and I'll be signing autographs and talking to people and telling a little bit of stories and one thing and another. And it'll be a heck of a night. We'll end up at Joey G's restaurant and signing autographs there. So if you have a chance, you should come around and see what we do.
Now, you're going to be at the Richmond Art Museum on October 21st, too, right?
I was just getting to that. You're ahead. You're sharp.
I try.
No, we will be at the Richmond Art Museum, and that'll be from 5 to 7. I think that everybody will enjoy that a great deal, and I'll be telling some stories. And there's going to be a Sammy Terry art display where local artists are painting pictures of their impressions of me. And it's going to, I'm anxious to see what I look like.
Well, Sammy, I got to tell you, we got to wrap up our segment with you. I wish we had all night with you, because I love you. And I know our listeners do, and I know everybody here in Indiana, you've done so much for the entertainment of so many people. And I tell you, I'm at work every day, and I talk to people. And I remember I talked to you last week, and I told people, you know, I just talked to Sammy Terry on the phone. They're like, get out of here, man.
Yeah. Well, now you can't tell them to get out. Actually, you can tell them that you talked to the only man that you've ever met. who has worn out 5 coffins and is still alive to talk about it.
I tell you, Sammy, before we go, I just want to tell you, like I said before, we love you. We appreciate everything you've done. And if you need anything, do not hesitate to get a hold of me or to get a hold of Nathan, because we'll do anything you need us to do for you. And before you go, could we get a Sammy Terry Pleasant Nightmares thing, you think?
I hope that you all will have many pleasant nightmares.
Yeah!
That's great. Hey, everybody, Sammy Terry, catch him October 18th at the Ohio Theater. I guess they're going to be doing a showing of 13 Ghosts there, and also be sure you can catch them at the Richmond Art Museum, where they'll be doing the Sammy Terry art display. That will be October 24th. Don't miss your chance to meet Sammy Terry. Bob Carter, thank you so much for being with us tonight on the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Oh, I hope you do have many pleasant nightmares.
Thanks, Sammy.
Thanks, we love Sammy. You. We'll talk to you soon. Hey, Sean, what do you say we take a quick break when we come back?
Wow.
Sean's going to have to take a few moments to collect himself since his hero was just on the show. But we'll have Brian and Isaac Kano, Sean?
Kano. I believe it's pronounced Kano.
Brian Kano from Scared. We're going to have Brian on, talk a little about some of the projects he's been working on. And, you know, if you keep getting locked out of our chat room, just keep coming back. And don't forget, next week we'll have a better chat room up and running. So,
you know what, Demon Hunter? I just got to tell you, I'm jealous. Sammy Terry comes on and says, "You're sharp." He said, "Nathan, my brother is sharp." I can't believe it.
It's those years of public access or public school training. Yeah, that's what did it.
Wow, this was big for me, brother. This was a big show for me.
It was a big one for Sean. And it's a big one for all of us, and we'll be back right after this.
Stay tuned.
Beacons of Tomorrow presents Deconstructing Fireflies, a post-apocalyptic short story by the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show's Nathan Schoonover and Christy Peterson. Bees are real, birds are not. Deer heads rot on rooftops under the blazing sun. Chickens explode. And one stricken little boy searches in unlikely places for the souls of the mechanical animals his father creates. This unsettling tale is now available in the speculative fiction anthology Beacons of Tomorrow, Second Collection. Buy your copy at TyrannosaurusPress.com, Amazon.com, Tower.com, and most online book retailers now. Beacons of Tomorrow, Second Collection. It's a vision of the future so grotesque, you won't be able to look away.
Welcome to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. Get your weekly download to all things ghostly and paranormal, and then some. Test your knowledge of the paranormal with haunted trivia. Email your otherworldly experiences for parashare and listen in to the rants and useless banter of Laura and Brian. If they've got an opinion on the paranormal,
or even a great pub,
they'll talk about it. The Deadline can be easily downloaded from the NJGHS.net website. You can also listen to archive shows at PodcastAlley.com. Say, while at Podcast Alley, cast a vote for The Deadline, because everyone knows that at some point in life, you have to meet The Deadline.
Hi, this is Lloyd Auerbach of the Office of Paranormal Investigations and MindReader.com. You're listening to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
And we're back.
We are back. Oh, my God, I'm still comatose. I can't believe we just had the man on the show. I can't believe it. We got somebody coming up that's he's doing good things, Demon Hunter. I got the DVDs. I got to watch one of them.
And And in the meantime, you're just going to sit there still drooling over the fact that you just got off the phone with Sammy Terrence.
All our listeners are going to have to give me a minute here. He called Nathan Sharp. You know, he said Nathan was a sharp kid. And this guy, wow. I mean, if you guys ever, you know, when you're growing up and you had a late night horror film guy like that, I just can't believe our show just had Sammy Terry on. It's huge for me. Huge.
Yeah, if you think this is bad, folks, you should have seen him after we got done with Elvira last year. He was... we pretty much had to pick Sean up and carry him away. So it's we know where your mind lies, Sean, and it lies deep in the horror movies. But right now on, in the third chair on the other line and in the next room, wherever he may be, is our friend from Scared, Brian J. Cano. Did I say that right, Brian?
Yeah, Cano. Cano is good.
Cano is good? Hey, mine is Schoonover, so I never get it right. It's That's why it's Nathan S. on the...
Nice. How's it going, guys?
It's going. It's going good. We're very happy about having you on tonight.
Man, it's like the opening act following the main act. It's like I don't have any coffins to speak of.
No, you got it, Brian. I watched your DVD, my friend. Special thanks to you for sending us, you and your team, sending us those DVDs. We liked it. But I was on the edge of my seat.
See, I have a few coffins, but, you know, I haven't worn any of mine out yet. I'm still young.
I watched, Brian, I watched The Farm Colony at Sea View.
Cool. That's part of our Urban Exploration series. The show we kind of have divided into two tracks to kind of to A, be different, and to cater to, you know, kind of a different audience, because everyone's doing the ghost hunting thing. Everyone's doing the EMF detectors and EVPs, and, you know, we kind of like that element of danger that comes along with urban exploration, and we're never going to abandon it totally, but... You know, we do a little bit of everything.
We like the element of danger, too, which is why we have Sean eat about 3 cans of beans before every investigation.
No, but I got to tell you, for all our listeners out there, guys, you get a hold of Brian, you go to, is it scared.com?
Scaredonline.com.
Okay, you guys go there. They can get the DVDs off that. You guys got to buy them. You got to run out right now. You got to get a hold of Brian. You got to go to the website. You got to order these DVDs because you'll be on the edge of your seat. I mean, if you like... This is way beyond ghost hunters, way beyond anything's different. These guys, they do what started most of us in ghost hunting, the urban exploration, the new things. What's going to be around that corner up the bend? You never know, right, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, hell, just hearing you talk about it, I'm getting excited.
It was good, man. I can't wait to watch the other one.
Oh, that's great. I appreciate that.
No,
yeah, it was actually, it's funny because we're taking a break right now to be on the show. Chris is like 10 feet from me editing our next urban exploration episode, which took place in Danvers, Massachusetts. Now, if you know anything about Danvers, they tore it down 2 years ago, and it's now luxury condominiums. But back in the day, it was an insane asylum, and it was kind of one of those really creepy places, and H.P. Lovecraft wrote about it a lot.
So that's what is it, Brian, with these old... insane asylums. I mean, we got one Central State out here in Indiana. I don't know if you've heard about it, but Troy Taylor wrote some things about it. And what do you think it is about, I guess, people that are mentally challenged or mentally ill in these hospitals? It seems like their spirits stay around.
I guess if I had to take a stab in the dark about this, it's one of those things where anything that happens, like anything that's extreme emotions, and it usually kind of manifests in like a violent event or hatred, or, you know, you usually get those echoes in a place where there's extreme emotions. It could be extreme feelings of, you know, love, like a grandmother doesn't want to leave her children, and, you know, those spirits stay around. But with a mentally ill, they just tap into something else that's different. And yeah, you know, I have a sneaking suspicion that some people that we term as mentally ill might be tapped into something that's very real, but to the rest of the world, it's like, whoa, these people are out there. We got to medicate them. We got to lock them away. Don't let them out.
Well, we say that about Sean all the time. So I was just saying, we say that about you all the time, Sean. So it's all okay.
And I'm going to haunt each and every one of you when I come back. All our guests, Stephen Hunter. I'm going to get them
awesome.
But I tell you, I know they said there was a survey taken one time amongst ghost hunters, and they said most times when you run into a violent ghost, it's at a sane asylum or something like that, or an old hospital. Why do you think, I mean, naturally, because, you know, a lot of these people are crazy. But, I mean, why do you think these ghosts, there's more attacks, paranormal attacks at these places?
It's probably, I mean, again, totally, you know, based on opinion. It's probably just that, and actually I'm kind of glad you asked that, because a lot of my curiosities and a lot of my approaching to ghost hunting is through psychology. Not parapsychology, but through psychology, because it's all about the, you know, the observer. So what mindset are they in when they're going in, you know? What is it about the spirit, and what is it about people that when they die, sometimes they just can't let go? So, I mean, if you have someone who's mentally ill, who dies and is stuck in the location, there's going to be a lot of rage, there's going to be a lot of fear, a lot of confusion. Right. And I guess it just, you know, hey, they don't know how to react. They didn't know how to react to their surroundings in life. And death, they still don't know how to react to what's become of them or who is around. And I guess that's what happens. They attack.
Well, first of all, don't ever say, feel bad about saying in my opinion on this show, Brian, because quite frankly, it's all opinion on this show.
Yeah, and, I mean, there's no experts out there, and I will never be an expert, and I'm happy to say that.
Brian, it's usually very bad opinions on this show. Not yours, ours.
Oh, great. So you thought our show was good, so is that a bad opinion by default?
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show loves Scared. Go buy their DVDs today.
No, okay, ratings right there. It's
I think there should be more counselors like in Casper. You seen Casper, the friendly ghost, the movie that came out. The guy wasn't a ghost. The guy wasn't a ghost hunter. He was a paranormal counselor. Maybe we need more of those. Maybe we need more psychologists instead of parapsychologists to go out here and be able to talk these ghosts down off the cliff. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, because, I mean, just in psychology alone, like I said, a lot of times it's the observer. So everybody who wanders down the hall, snaps a picture, says, oh, it's an orb, it's a ghost. You know, they're jumping lots of steps. So, you know, you see what you want to see. And
right.
It's always... The first stop is the person who's observing it.
It's funny because, like I was telling Sean earlier, I just got back from doing the Haunted Hickory, where I did my lecture on, one, on paranormal theories and how your theory doesn't have to match up with everybody else's. And
right.
The second one was on different religious beliefs and how they affect people's perception of the paranormal. So
right.
it goes into a big deal in all that, you know,
yeah,
what people think they see, why some people see a demon and some people see a ghost. It's...
In our group, we've got pretty much the full spectrum of religious beliefs, and you know, everything going from pretty much devout Christian to Muslim to atheist to pagan, and you know, we kind of respectfully disagree with each other, but it's interesting to have all those viewpoints about a commonality that we're looking for.
This week on Scared, the Jihad starts.
Yeah.
Ah, la la la!
You'd be surprised.
you never know. But, Brian, what kind of equipment do you guys use? Is it the normal stuff, or, I mean, you guys got some new stuff, or what's going on?
We pretty much have the standard basic poor man's kits. You know, we've got our EVP readers, everything as simple as the Elf Zone meters. Those are the ones we started with. We moved up to the Gauss Master.
Now, I've been using those for years. I have never found an elf.
Yeah, I know, right? Keep looking, but they don't find them.
I know. It's like it says elf meter right on it. I follow the light. It jumps up to 10 at one point, and no elf there.
Seen some gnomes in my day. No elf.
Nice.
Yeah. Slapstick humor, baby.
But it's crazy because, I mean, no matter what meter I use, and we've tried, you know, K2 meters and tri-field meters, we've got two psychics on the team. And they're finding things left, and they're finding things right. I'm sitting there like, yep, not getting anything. Nope, not getting anything. And
right.
It sometimes makes me a little crazy. I'm like, all right, this is going to be the time. I'm going to get something when they do. And, can't always plan it out that way.
Well, you know, it was funny when I showed my tools to people when I was down at Mid-South and at Hickory. I pulled the stuff out, and I've got, like, stud finders. And they're looking at me going, what's that for? I'm like, well, if you got an EMF detector, I want to know where the EMF is coming from. So I have a stud finder, and it looks for electrical wires in the walls. It's
totally.
You know,
I mean, half the stuff that we use is meant for other purposes. Like, there is no patented ghost finder, you know, copyright,
right.
trademark. So I mean, we're just using whatever we can. And back in the day, like literally, back in 2002 when we first started, and we've been doing this for 6 going on 7 years, we didn't have any of the flashy gadgets. We didn't have any of the other stuff. And we just, you know, I mean, and people have been reporting ghosts for hundreds of years, even before there were EMF detectors. So we kind of used the old wives' tricks. You know, we would take little toy cars, we'd take little balls, we'd use baby powder, we'd use, you know, all the stuff to kind of almost set traps so if that there was a spirit, you know, and, hey, it might find the ball interesting, it would move it. If there was, you know, phantom footprints and no one was down the hall and there was an impression in the baby powder, you know, we used all those old tricks back in the day.
I had the baby powder in my kit, but usually it was just because being out all night, I'd get a little chafed. So, you know.
They make cream for that, man. They got cream. It's out there. Anyway, Brian, you go to all these places, right? You've been to all the. Tell us your most creepiest place you've been to.
I think there's a lot of ties for first, but the one that sticks out in my head is always our first investigation. This was back on Staten Island, a place called St. Augustine's, and it was a monastery turned boys' school. And the local legends were that. And
right, I mean, there, the jokes could just fly, but okay, go ahead.
Totally. But the biggest local legend about it was that one of the teachers, a monk, had gone insane, slaughtered a whole bunch of students, and dragged their bodies to the lower levels of the monastery.
Yeah.
Now, I'd been hearing about this place growing up on Staten Island for years, but I never went there. One day, Chris sees in Weird New Jersey magazine a little piece about this place, and we're like, oh, wow, we've got to check this out. So we went, and I mean, I was raised Catholic. I'm a recovering Catholic, so.
Recovering, I love it.
Totally, man, totally. something about thinking for myself that just, you know, didn't mesh with their beliefs.
Right.
But I still have a lot of those traditions in my head, and something about a place of God that is abandoned really was creepy. And all night we were, you know, hearing screams, hearing things that just weren't normal and weren't coming from a place that we could really identify. Creepy, man. Really creepy.
Sounds it.
You know, I got to tell you, Brian, no, I've done this, well, it's going on my 12th year being involved with the paranormal. And I've been to some wild places, man, some wild rides. But at the same time, I think EVP has got to be, electronic voice phenomena, has got to be the greatest thing I've ever encountered.
It's definitely,
you know what I mean?
It's not bad because it's one of those things where, you know, you could always get a weird EMF reading and that could be explained even if you don't understand where it's coming from. But
right.
You get a voice out of nowhere, yeah.
Yeah. Some guy tried to tell me one time, oh, you guys are just running around picking up airwave frequencies from the radio station. I'm like, okay, well, listen to this. This one says I'm going to kill you. So you tell me what FM station plays that. You know what I mean?
The one that I'm sending out to you, Sean.
Right. It's just
that's
like that.
To my cell phone provider. That was probably me. Sorry.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I love it. I was watching White Noise. I know a lot of people didn't like that movie, but when it came out, I was watching it the other day again. And, you know, it's amazing stuff. Of course, they tied in ITC experiments with EVP. And do you guys do any of that? Do you guys do any instrumental transmutation stuff?
Oh, what, with the TVs and...
Yeah, the TVs and the... Yeah.
I'm aware of it. Actually, the guy who did some of the DVD extras on White Noise, he runs Flamel College, and I actually, you know, took a couple courses there.
Yeah.
The only TV I would really have access to do it to would be mine, and I kind of don't want to mess with that in my house.
Right.
I'll go over Chris's and I'll do it, but we haven't done too much experimenting with that because I feel we don't know enough about it yet to do it the right way and not mess with things we shouldn't.
Well, now, and yeah. Your most recent case, I guess, has been the Philadelphia State Hospital?
Oh, actually, that was a couple of years ago.
Oh, was it? I was looking on your list of things, so that was number 15, so...
Because even though it was a couple of years ago, and they tore it down about a year ago, so that'll be another urban exploration spot that no one will ever get to again.
Geez, we're going to have to buy all your DVDs just to see the history of these places.
But that place, like, we never actually got to make it to an episode because we have so much footage, but we're finally getting around to it, and that's why it's episode 15.
Yeah. So why are they tearing all these places down? Just they should be condemned or what?
A lot of it is because usually they're built to handle a specific type of disorder or disease, like the farm colony was all about tuberculosis. And
right.
At its height, you know, there's so many people getting sick, they didn't know how to treat it, and all they could do was make the people comfortable as they attempted to cure it. But then, you know, one day, hey, wow, we found a cure. They no longer needed all these buildings, and I mean, just budgets being the way they were, they couldn't afford to keep all the staff on. So it was just, you know, it was a hard time, kind of almost like now. And you know, places closed, and they became too big to be useful for what they were created for.
Right.
And they just shut down. And you know, I mean,
and if you go to Arkansas, you can go stay in one at the Crescent Hotel, where they. Turn a place like right. that into a fancy place to go eat.
Now, I got to ask you, Brian, we were talking, me and Nathan was talking earlier, some news stories about some doctors, near-death experiences, stuff like that, and the difference between the brain and the mind. And I remember back in the day when I used to be with the Ghost Group, I did some talks about consciousness. At what point does consciousness stop? Are ghosts conscious? Do they know what's going on? I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, do you think the mind is separate from the brain? Do you think it's the mind that drives these ghosts after death?
I guess, well, I mean, basic tenet of science is, you know, energy can neither be created or destroyed, just changes form.
So yeah, Einstein.
If our mind or our soul or however you want to term it is just pure energy, and we leave the body behind, you know, we know the brain houses the mind, at least as far as we understand it now, and all those electrical impulses control our body. But
right.
you know, it's almost like the brain is the pilot for the body. We need the brain because we have this big hunk of flesh that we got to walk around in.
Right.
So once that consciousness goes and is free, I guess that's all you need. But I mean,
now I got to ask you, Brian, how many of these places do you do you have permission to go into these places when you go into them?
Now we do, yes.
Okay.
Now we do. Back in the day, we did things a little more renegade, but we were respectful renegades, whereas, you know, other people we'd meet in there, we just wanted to party and drink and graffiti up the place, but we're like, hey, we're just here to film a documentary, so
right.
we're not looking to cause trouble.
What are some of the places you're looking at going to next that we can look forward to?
That's a good question. With so many TV personalities going to places, all these places want thousands of dollars when we come calling just to even show up. So,
oh dear.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard. So, I mean, Al, if you know any, you let us know and we'll go check them out.
I was going through some of your work here, and I was trying to see if you'd done anything up in the Borscht Belt, Pine Bear, or the Borscht Belt up in the, like, Saugerties kind of area where they have the old hotels, like in Dirty Dancing, that now they're all lying vacant and nobody can go up there anymore. Do you ever get up there to do anything up there?
The only thing we've done up by Saugerties is a little further to the west, and actually that's our latest episode, the Shanley Hotel. It's in Napanock, New York.
Okay.
Saugerties, though, I used to spend a lot of time in it, and you're definitely right. There's a lot of cool stuff out there that I would love to check out. There's actually one place on the Hudson called Bannerman Island.
Okay.
And there's an old arsenal on there. Now, if you ever take the Hudson River line up north, you'll pass this thing that just looks like a castle. It's like the sentinel that's just sitting on the water, and it's really cool looking. And I've heard rumors about it a lot, but it's almost impossible to get on.
Hmm.
That's a place I would love to check out.
Now the Pine Barrens—that's Jersey Devil territory.
That's Jersey Devil. I was mixing the Borscht Belt and the Pine Barrens up there in my head because they're two of my favorite places to go. So, I've gone up there to the Borscht Belt area, and if you ever saw the movie Dirty Dancing, where they had, like, the big hotels, and people would go out there, and they would, you know, that was their vacation. You weren't going to fly anywhere, because the planes weren't available to you, and your homes didn't have air conditioning, so in the middle of the summer, you'd go upstate, and go to stay in these cabins, and where it was cool, and that was your vacation, and once air conditioning came around so people could sit at home and stay cool, and airplanes came around so people could fly anywhere they wanted, to Europe or Disney World or whatever, these places just died. And so now three-quarters of these hotels lay vacant and just falling apart. And it's a shame because they're absolutely beautiful. They're beautiful even in their decay.
So essentially what you're saying is that nobody puts Nathan in the corner.
Nobody puts Nathan in the corner. Nobody puts Nathan in a corner. That's right. And
hey, Brian, for Scared, I know you're friends with Big Jim, like we're friends with him. Do you see anything in your future with Bigfoot?
I can't say that we're going to be doing any cryptid hunting anytime soon, but working with Jim was definitely awesome.
He actually
could check him out in our episode 13 at the Portsmouth Lighthouse. GSP, and Jeff and the other members of Pine were with us, and that was definitely an awesome time. But it was in November, and it was damn cold.
He came on the show, Brian. He talked about, we actually got him out live while him and his team were hunting the Lizard Man.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. They were out there investigating a car that had, like,
North Carolina, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Or South Carolina. He was one of the two. I don't know if he ever found the Lizard Man. I haven't heard from Jim. He might have got ate by him. I don't know.
He hasn't answered my email in the past 2 weeks, so.
Lizard Man might have called
up there. Phone home. That stuff I know nothing about, so, I mean, I would love to check out those kinds of things and actually find out, you know, if all those rumors have even any basis in truth.
I got to tell you, though, Brian, real quick, before I go. Go to whispersestate.com, and I know I've wore this out on the show, guys, but me and Nathan had one of our greatest finds. We did a live broadcast from that show. It's called Whispers. It's not called Whispers Estate for nothing, because when you're there, these ghost entities, whatever, they speak. You'll hear an argument happening in front of you, and there's nobody there. While I was there, you heard a little girl screaming and crying and stuff like that, and we got some great EVP if you go back to our archives. But you guys should really go out there and do something. Nobody's done anything yet. Nobody's touched this place except on MySpace. It's whispersestate.com, and I know you were saying if I knew of any place. It's in Mitchell, Indiana, okay. And it's a bed and breakfast. And I got to tell you, Jackson balls, they were falling from the ceiling. I didn't see that, but I did see the ball roll across the floor while I was in the bathroom, and it came out of nowhere. I don't know where it could have came from.
Huh.
And you hear the little girl run across upstairs. Her name was Rachel, the ghost of the little girl. And I don't know what else to say. It's just an amazing place. And it's kind of – everybody got their kicks off of it for a while, and it's kind of quiet down now, and now would be the time to hit it.
Yeah, we like that. We like quiet, at least from the living anyway.
It's funny, though, when Sean says we had one of our greatest experiences there. That means Sean got to go and spend the night there, and I sat here at the computer uploading all the information as he called in.
I was on my cell phone doing a live thing, Brian, and you could hear around 11, it was around this time at night, the little girl running across upstairs, and I kept stopping. Remember that, Nate?
Yeah.
I was trying to do a radio show, and I kept stopping and going, guys, I'm hearing this right now. It's happening. And you could hear her laughing and running upstairs. And, you know, a lot of people said, man, it might have been piped in. The guy might have had – and it's true. I mean, I can't tear apart plaster walls to see if there's speakers behind it.
Right.
But I felt the footsteps. You could feel it in your chest, the vibration from this old house of her running upstairs, and there was no one there. And I had, you know, a couple witnesses with me, so...
We'll leave it to the Scared crew. It seems like every place we go gets torn down shortly after, so we'll see if there's anything behind those walls.
Go check it out, man, and let me know when you guys are in town. I'd love to come out with you.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Now,
absolutely.
Definitely be awesome.
When you go out to places, you obviously have your team, you do these things, but do the owners ever show up and walk through with you and give you the information? And Sean got to see the videos, I didn't, so...
We when it comes to information about a location, I get it. Some other members of my team get it, but we have to keep it away from our psychics. We want them coming there totally cold. We don't want them to know anything about this.
Well, that's just mean, man. Give the people a coat. It's you're, these are abandoned houses. Yeah, these are abandoned houses. That's just not right.
That's why they only investigate with us in the summer.
Ah, I see.
Nude psychics, I never thought. Who would have thunk it?
Oh, believe me, Sean, I've been to a few of those pagan festivals. You see way too many nude psychics, some that really
shouldn't. See, I knew I should convert to paganism.
Some of them, really, they shouldn't be doing it, dude. But
it's too much, and I mean that literally.
Yeah. But people can catch this out at scaredonline.com. That's www.scaredonline.com. You've got all the different cases you've worked on up there. They can go and check out photos of you and the group, different episodes, information about your crew. Some of your theories on the paranormal are there that are going to be there anyway. And
we're still technically under construction, but it's coming.
And you're on MySpace, too. You've got your MySpace, which is...
Scared TV.
I actually had that up on the website because when I went to put on your webpage, I don't know if you were working on it or something, but it didn't come up the first day I did it. So,
really?
Yeah. So, but I will fix that and put when I put your information on our guest list, it will be under your website so people can go to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter past guests and check it out there.
Very cool.
And people can check out you at www.myspace.com. / scared TV, as well as your webpage. So
awesome.
We'll all be good. It'll all be great. We'll get it all up and running. I say this like I'm going to do it in 15 minutes, but it'll probably be a day or so. but that's okay, because, you know, I want to make sure that everybody checks you out. ScaredOnline.com. Brian, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Sean, Nathan, I thank you guys too.
Anything big coming around that you want to tell people about before we move on?
Nothing that we could really talk about. We have some things in the works, but the minute we've got something to say, we'll definitely let you know about it.
That'd be cool, because we want to know. We want to be able to tell all our friends that we heard it first.
And actually, we are, like I said, we're editing our Danvers episode. We gave ourselves a hard deadline of Halloween, so it's coming.
That's a hard one, but we're looking forward to it. Hey, can you hang on? Oh, go ahead, Sean.
Big stuff coming up for Scared, guys.
And can you hang on the line for a second there, Brian, while we wrap up?
Yeah, sure thing.
That's great. Hey, Sean, time to thank all our listeners for joining us here tonight for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Absolutely, little brother. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log on our forums, because we really want to hear from you.
And don't forget, if you missed any part of this broadcast or any Ghost Man and Demon Hunter broadcast, you can check it out by going to any of our links, Planet Paranormal, Podomatic, Podcast Alley, iTunes, Mediafly, Podbean, Blueberry, Podcast Pickle, Para, blah, 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 Para X Radio, and the Black Vault Radio Network, as well as the Podfeed community. We're just everywhere out there, and... don't forget, next week, we will have the man, the myth, the legend, True TV's Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence. He is going to be talking to us about some of the new big cases they put together for this year's episodes. I got to see the first episode this year with Patrick, and it was the JonBenet Ramsey case. It was fascinating. So check us out next week. That'll be October 19th. I guess that's about it, Sean.
All I got to say, guys, Brian Kano from Scared and Sammy Terry. Don't go changing, Ghost Hunters. We won't. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
Night, guys.
So say good night to the bad guys.